whole chapter.
Hey, Romans chapter 16. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Kentria, that ye receive her in the Lord, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apollos, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsmen. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Narcissus, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and defenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good, and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Timotheus, my workfellow, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sisyphus, my kinsmen, salute you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Gaius, my host, and of the whole church, saluted thee. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluted thee, and Quartus, the brother. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is with power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen.
Now all the names are given here. St. Paul remembers everyone, salutes everyone, greets everyone, and he doesn't forget any person. Especially Aquila and Priscilla, he said, they gave their life for me, put their necks out, means they were always there when the time of trouble. Only you can know the friends when they stand for you in the time of trouble. And there are some friends, they are good times, parties, they will be there. When you have a problem, you won't see them. So the St. Paul is saying, all the people, even though he says, my kinsmen, or you are my relatives and friends, and I greet you. But especially Aquila and Priscilla, he says, they gave their life for me. Means they were always there to protect me. And so that's the good testimony. And so now here he's saying, verse 17, please read.
Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them.
Now he says, there are people in the church, people who says they are belong to Christ, but mark them if they make any divisions among you. Did you mark them yet? It's not like, oh, they make a division, why don't you go to their house? Why don't you go to their prayer meeting? Why don't you show some love? That's not St. Paul is saying. Mark them. They are the one cause division. Stay away from them. That's the message. Then somebody says, oh, Paul doesn't love everybody. You have to know who is your enemy. If the people came to church to make a divisions and want people to follow them and their doctrine, they are the enemy of the cross. Amen. They are thinking they are doing good thing. But the word of God says, if somebody offends one brother or sister, what do? Put a big stone in his neck and throw him in the lake. That's the harsh word. So we have to learn who is in our side. Some people preach the gospel for their belly. Some preach gospel for their name. Some preach gospel for their fame. We are preaching the gospel to lift Jesus up. He says, when you lift me up, I will draw men towards me. I'm not here to pull people to us. You have to know who is really following the Lord and who is not really following the Lord. That's what important we have to know. So that's what he's saying. I beseech you, brethren, mark them which causes divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which we have learned, avoid them. It's very important. Okay, verse 18. Good words and simple language they speak. Oh, sister, I love you. Let me give you a kiss and let me give you a hug. But I learned something. No flesh, the spirit. So here is saying, some people come to tell you sweet things and try to entice you. What is their motto? They want their name, their fame, their belly to be filled. And they want people to say, oh, you are a good man. You have to learn what the love is all about. Our God is love and what? Our God is consuming fire. Robbed the bank yesterday. Oh, brother, let me give you a hug. You did a great thing. Could you give me 50% to my church? I would not do such a thing like that. So we are here to tell the truth. And truth hurts. But the truth will set you free. Romans 16:19.
For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil.
Your obedience come to me and throughout the world. Everybody knows you are an obedient child of God and you are a good church and you are good members. But he says, I want to see more things that you are living a Christian life, good Christian life, and stay away from the evil thing. That's what God wants. God is not going to say God is love and God allows you to do anything. That is not a good God. God says, I'm a jealous God. What does it mean? He said, I'm a jealous God. I do not want you to worship any idols. I do not want to worship anybody but me. That's a jealous God. But our God says, I am a broad-minded God. I understand you want to worship the Buddha. I still love you. You want to worship any idol? I still love you. We are all one. Go ahead and worship anybody. No. First commandment. What is the first commandment? You should not have any other God before me. Not on earth, water, or anywhere. Now, please read that. Your obedience is come abroad unto all men. But what the word of God says? Obedience is what? Better than sacrifice. Lord says, I do not want any other God, or you should not worship anyone because I'm a jealous. So we cannot be our broad-minded. You go to any church. You worship anywhere and come anytime you want to come. You give birth to somebody, you take care of them. Don't drop the child in somebody's footsteps. Make them strong believers. You don't go to church, just have a good time. Some good singers are coming and some good music is played and everything and looks the biggest church in town. I go to the biggest church in town. One other day, one lady smoking in that Belham Park. And I said, ma'am, what church you go to? She tells me the biggest church in town. Like a 15,000 member church. Name. I'm not giving now. I said, ma'am, you go to that church at a big church. But nothing change happened to you yet. Don't give me the big name of the big church. Jesus Christ has to change you. So point I'm making, you can go to any church and sit there and have a good time. But if you are not obedient to the word of God,
but your obedience has come abroad unto all men, I am glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil.
Wise unto that which is good. That means be smart and understand what is the will of God it is. And be simple means ignorant about evil. If somebody says, I don't understand what you're talking about. Evil things, for example, some people come to me, I'm talking about unsaved ladies or something, and they try to give me some signal that they love me or they want some fleshly things, and I just play like, I don't know what they're talking about. They might be thinking, he doesn't understand. So he says, be simple. One lady comes here and she said, I want to hug you. I says, ma'am, I don't like to hug. Oh, I'm going to hug you. I'm running here. I'm running there. She's coming after me. And my wife's standing here and she's just watching what's happening. Finally, I said to her, ma'am, you're not coming here to hug me. You're coming to listen to the word. And she goes and calls me, Pastor Peter, I want to meet you. I say, where? In some place. Why don't you come to church? Oh, I want to meet you alone. I said, ma'am, I'm a married man. And I don't go to ladies' houses like that. And so, I'm not going to meet you anywhere. I meet people at the church. So what I'm trying to say, this is what he's saying. Be simple concerning evil. Some people will try to give you some body language or this language and that language. Be ignorant. One day I went to the college to preach the young girls. And I was young. I'm talking about maybe 45 years ago. And so I went there and sat there in their hall, and one sister used to come to church. She said, I'm going to dress, I'm going to get ready, talk to my girlfriend. And she comes and so close to me and tried to put her hand on me. I said, stay right there. And then she said, I have two tickets for the movie. Would you come with me to movie? And she got the message, this is not the guy. And the lady came. I said to the lady when she came, I said, listen, you kept the sister here and said, talk to her. She's not interested about God. She's interested in me. She wants me to go to movie. So I said, I'm not going to come to your college again. I did not go to university to meet those people again. People were trying to get me. And I avoid everyone. And I put one sign. I says, people, I'm going to marry one day. But I put three things in the hand of God. If somebody wants to marry me, pray. Get a vision from the Lord. And then somebody, your friend or girlfriend, your mother or father, somebody should get a vision. And then God should tell me about you. When three things happens, I'll believe this is the will of God. And that's what I married to. My wife, devil will come to entice you, but you have to know his tactic. So I learned one thing, that God I trusted, and he gave me the right person in my life. eHarmony.com. That man stood there and said, my uncle is 80 years old and he found the girlfriend or wife through my eHarmony.com, and we went for his wedding. I said, a good advertisement, 80 years old, looking for wife. I said, why don't you look for Jesus Christ? Now the time to go up, not looking for girlfriend. So stay away, make yourself like an innocent, do not understand any evil things. Okay, verse 20.
And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
Okay, now what he's trying to say, the devil is trying to distract you, harass you, put you down, but the time has come. What the time? The devil will be under your feet. And the believer, they have to know and understand. Devil cannot rule over you. Devil has to be under your feet. Go to Ephesians chapter. Go to the chapter 1 then.
And I put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. His body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all.
And chapter 1 we're reading, we are the fullness of God. We are the body of Christ. And everything God has put under his feet. Whose feet? Jesus' feet. Now, if Jesus Christ is your head, then where is his feet? You are his feet. If you are the body of Christ, then if I'm the body of Christ, whose foot is this? It's foot of Christ. And all the things will be under my feet, which is actually Jesus' feet. Because I am his body, he is my head, and I am a living witness for Jesus Christ on earth. So that's why one person was preaching, we are little Christ walking on this earth. Other people got offended. What are you talking about? We are little Christ? They didn't understand. Jesus Christ made us what? Brothers, co-heirs of salvation. If Jesus is the Son of God, you are the Son of God. You are the child of God. And then you have to believe that you are the body of Christ and all things, the devil should be under your feet. That's what he's saying. Go back to the Romans chapter 16 verse 20.
And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
Okay. Pretty soon, the devil will be defeated. After the millennium, devil will be completely destroyed. Devil has no power over us. Once you belong to Jesus Christ, we are overcomers. 1 John chapter 4 verse 4, please.
You are God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
We are overcomers. Why? Because the greater one lives in us. The devil is not greater. He's a little. He has no power over God or God's children. But sometimes the children of God, they think they are nobody. And devil walks over them. We have to say, devil, you are under my feet. Don't try to rule me because I am a king. I am the priest. I am chosen one. I am the royal priesthood. I am belong to God. You have no authority over me. Devil will be shaking. You take the name of Jesus, devil runs. What he says, resist the devil, he will flee. We don't have to run. We have to make him run. Romans 16:21.
Timotheus, my workfellow, Lucius and Jason, and Sosthener, and my kinsmen salute you. I, Tertius, who write this epistle, salute you in the Lord.
Okay. Now this time Paul is an old man. Not because he saw the light, eyes dimmer. He's naturally getting dim. And people take this thing and say, When he got that light and he became blind, he never got healed. And that was a thorn in his flesh. That is so shameful to say that. That means our God cannot heal anybody. Jesus Christ healed him completely. Otherwise, he won't be any witness. He says he was blind and Ananias laid hand on him and he says something fell out of his eyes and he was able to see. He did not say to Ananias, hey Ananias, pray again. I don't see properly. You remember Jesus prayed for one man and he said, what do you see? He said, I see man like walking trees. Jesus laid hand again and said, now open your eyes and look up. He said, now I see everything clearly. Paul could have said the same thing. Could you please pray again? But he had a perfect vision when Ananias prayed for him. I have no doubt. So people tried to say, He prayed three times, and God says, my grace is sufficient. I'm not going to heal you. That's the wrong teaching. He did not ask about sickness and disease. He said, thorn in my flesh. Do you know what thorn in flesh means? Somebody's bugging me. So what I'm trying to say, with thorn in your flesh means somebody bugging you, not allowing you to do the Lord's work. Buffeting means try to harass him. Wherever he went, each and every synagogue, each and every place, people were harassing him. And he thought, if these people don't harass me, God says, no, sir. The day I called you, the day I told you, I will teach you how to suffer for my name's sake. He did not tell him, I'm going to put a disease on you so you can humble yourself and learn. No. He said, you are going to suffer for my name's sake means whenever you go, people will harass you. People will come against you. Even the Jesus said to his disciples, John chapter 16, and the last verse if you read, he says, you will have tribulations, but be cheerful. I have overcome the world. He did not tell the disciples, I'm going now. You will have no problem. You will have no opposition. You will have everything smooth sailing. Didn't say that. He said, you will have tribulation. Right, you will have trials. He said, I am the green tree and they harass me. What about you? So he said, be faithful until death. So St. Paul was not asking about healing the sickness and disease. He was asking, take away this thorn. These people are bugging me and not allowing me to preach freely. That's what he was asking. But the people who do not want to believe in divine healing, they bring these things in. Let's go to the book of Romans, verse 23.
Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church, saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you. And Quartus, the brother. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Now he's trying to say all these people, he gave this name and saluted them. Finally, he's saluting the guys and other people, and he's saying, I really, really love all the brothers. What I need, I want the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Without grace of God, we will not have victory. We got saved by grace. We got baptized by grace. We got Holy Spirit by grace. We are living holy life by grace. We are preaching the gospel by grace. Without grace, we cannot do anything. So he said, I want the grace of God with you all. That's what I want, because God says, my grace is sufficient. So I want the same grace with you. He's not trying to say, well, if you're sick, don't look for healing. Just stay sick and just don't go anywhere. Be in your bed until Jesus Christ comes. That's okay. No. We don't want to sick and afflicted and sitting there and giving devil the credit. We want to be healed, delivered and set free so we can put the devil under our feet. Because Jesus Christ said, John chapter 10 verse 10, what? Devil, the enemy, the thief, comes to kill, steal and destroy. I have come to give you life and what? More abundant life. Jesus did not say, let the devil come and kill you. Let the devil come and make you sick. And be humble. That's okay. He didn't say like that. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8. What is he saying? Jesus Christ came to this world for what? To destroy the works of the devil. Please read.
He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
He was sinning from the beginning. Jesus didn't allow him to keep on sinning. He said, I'm going to go to this world and destroy his work and stop him. He had enough deceiving people and destroying people. So Jesus says, I have come to give you life and what? More abundant life. My purpose to come to this world is what? To destroy the works of the devil. If Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil, and if you are the child of God and the servant of God, what is your job? Destroy the works of the devil and promote the work of God. Book of Romans, chapter 16, verse 25.
Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith.
To him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Now somebody says, Paul is so proud. He says, my gospel. What is he trying to say? I preach the gospel. Gospel of what? I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. He says, I am the one preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and the doctrine of Jesus Christ, and he revealed me all the mystery which were kept secret since the world began. Nobody knew what the purpose of God is, what the angels is all about, what the Christ is all about, why the crucifixion is all about, and what the gifts of God is all about, and all the mysteries revealed to the church of God. Jesus Christ was speaking in parables, and his disciple came and he said, why are you talking with parables? He says, I talk to them with the parables, but the mystery of the kingdom of God is given to you. And the Saint Paul says, it was closed, but now it is revealed to us. But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Why he revealed to us? What was the reason, he says? The reason is this: if you obey, then everything is open to you. We have to obey the God and have faith in God, then God reveals his secret to us. Some people say, I'm praying and nothing is happening and God is not answering prayer. God answers prayers, but you have to be ready to listen. He says, sacrifice your body as a living sacrifice. Do not conform to this world, and then you will know what is the perfect will of God concerning you. What God wants from us, we will not understand if you're pleasing the flesh. If you're pleasing the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, then God will reveal his plan to us. And he says, God wants all this world come to the everlasting Father, who is the author of faith, Jesus Christ. He says, looking what? Unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. If we need anything, what do you need? Faith in God. You don't have any trouble. What you need is faith in God. And how true it is. So we need faith in God. Okay, let's read the last verse.
To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever.
To God only wise. Who is wise? God. And the word of God says, who is wise? God is wise. And who is other person is wise? Who wins the soul? Soul winner. Who wins the soul is wise. Our God is wise, and he says, you want to be like me? Win souls. And you will be wise. Our God is only wise God. And you want God's wisdom and God's grace? Go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Please read.
But of him are ye Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
Now, see, but of him we are in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ Jesus, then We have wisdom. We have righteousness. We have sanctification. We have redemption. What more we want? If you have Christ, we have everything. You need wisdom, have Christ. We want righteousness, have Christ. We want to set free and be saved, have Christ. Without Christ, we are nothing. So he says, to God only wise, be glory. And how are we giving glory? Through Christ Jesus forever. So he says, if you want to give glory, only God receives glory through Christ. He does not understand anybody without Christ. There are people who are Hindus and Muslims. They say, they stand there and beat on their chest and cry and crawl on their knees. God is not listening. He's not listening because he said, I can only listen to you through Jesus Christ. You can give glory. You want to say thank you? I say thank you through Jesus. Jesus is the only one made the way to God, to heaven. He says, I am the way. There is no other way. I am the truth. There is no other truth. I am the life. There is no other life. Why people are ashamed to tell this? I'm not worried to tell this. I'm not worried about anything or anybody. I'm not going to sit in somebody's boat and sing their song. One day one man called me, come to my office. I went to Central City. He was the leader of some kind of organization. And he said, you know, I'm going to help you for your India's ministry. I don't want you saying blood of Jesus Christ. You just say, Jesus Christ gave his life. Don't say blood. I say, sir, I'm not ashamed to call the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness. So I'm going to plead the blood. You keep your money. You keep your teaching. Bye-bye. I never saw him again. So what I'm trying to say, I'm not here to sit in somebody's boat and sing their song. I'm here to tell the truth. If they don't like it, they don't have to see me again. But I'm going to teach the word of God and preach the word of God. And one day I want to see Jesus Christ say, my faithful servant, well done, come home. And that's what I'm waiting for. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us your grace. Without you, we cannot do anything. We are so thankful to you. We heard about you and we gave our lives to you. And there is none like Jesus. And we cannot change Jesus to anything else because you are all sufficient, God. We do not want anything but Jesus Christ. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We worship the triune God. We give you glory, honor, and praise to your holy name through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.